Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When women in the Bible have something to say, it often comes out as a song. Miriam's song, and Hannah's song, and Deborah's song, and the song we heard today, Mary's song. Each of these ends up being a revolutionary song. These aren't revolutions in the sense of inciting people to action, but something deeper. These are songs that say that God is on the side of the dispossessed. All along, while nations rose up, while kings rode to battle, while the rich got richer, while the mighty slaughtered their enemy on the battlefield, all along, God was huddling in the corner beside a weeping child. God was in the mud. God was in detention. There was a song that we sang with the base communities when our group was in El Salvador a few weeks ago, and I loved these lyrics in English. You are the God of the poor, the human and simple God, the God who sweats in the street, God with a sunburned face. That's why I talk to you as my people speak, because you're a working God, the working Christ. I've seen you in the grocery stall, in the corner of a shed. I've seen you selling lottery tickets without being at all ashamed. I've seen you in the gas stations, checking the tires on a truck, and even patrolling highways with leather gloves and overalls. And then my favorite part is the song talks about Jesus eating raspado and icy in the park with his friends. But I loved hearing Angel, our friend Angel's second family, sing that song. I loved it because I believe that, that God fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. And I believe that God does this through people like Mary, people who say yes, people who become instruments for God's revolutionary, world-toppling love. We are the ones that God has been waiting for. We are the ones we have been waiting for. During the British rule of India, the government decided the content of the Magnificat was so revolutionary, it was outlawed from being sung in worship. In the 1980s, Mary's song caused a stir in Central America. The revolutionary message led to Luke 1 being banned in any public recitation. The mothers of the Plaza de Mayo, those whose children disappeared during the Dirty War, they used to place the words of the Magnificat on posters and display them throughout the Capitol Plaza. And so the military junta of Argentina outlawed any public display of the Magnificat. That's the God we worship here. To put God here in the body of the poor, this is a revolutionary act. It is a dangerous way of being. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is a threat to empires and armies. It means God is for us, for some, and also against others. Hannah and Deborah and Miriam and Mary, they set this good news to song. Perhaps it's because words of a song can slip by in ways that speeches and writings attract certain attention. Perhaps it's because these are words that can be easily memorized and sung again and can be passed on to others. Perhaps it's because songs make people strong. They awake something in us that lets us believe. One of the most powerful women's song collectives I know is the African-American a cappella group Sweet Honey in the Rock. I thought about them all week as I read the Magnificat. Their artistic director is one of my personal heroes, Bernice Johnson Reagan. She got her start as a leader of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, during the Civil Rights Movement, but she came in as a singer. And she bore witness to the power of songs to transform people and communities. A few years ago, she told an interviewer about the music that shaped the movement. The songs are free, and they have meaning placed in them by the singers, she said. It can just as easily be a song of resistance as it can be this internal nurturing of the soul. Both resistance and nurturing the soul. Songs do both. Reagan took the spirit, the founding of Sweet Honey in the Rock in 1970. This all-women's jazz and blues and gospel spiritual, the song that was underneath what we just saw. They wrote these songs in homage to Ella Baker and Fannie Lou Hamer. It's just amazing, amazing music. And when asked to reflect on the power of corporate singing, Reagan recalled a time when the sheriff shows up to one of their organizing meetings at a church. And he started taking pictures, and he was writing down everyone's names. It was an act of intimidation, and everyone was afraid. But then someone in this back started to sing. "The song will maintain the air is your territory," Reagan recalled about this incident. "This is our space. And the only way people could take that space back was by starting a song. Inevitably, when people start a mass meeting, someone would start to sing. Songs fill up the air. And when we sing the Magnificat, we are maintaining the air is God's territory. We put God's claims of love and justice and mercy, claims that we make together, songs that have been passed down, songs of justice and revolutionary love, and we make that claim here. This week, Sue and I went to graduation. It was a celebration for 10 women who completed the Job Start program at NCCIW, the women's prison here in Raleigh. Sue was a mentor in the program that helps women who've been incarcerated prepare for life outside. They go to the grocery store and take cooking classes, work at local organizations, they visit Wake Tech. But more importantly, they work with people who tell them something most of them have never heard, that their lives are precious, that they have a hope and a future. At Job Start graduation, each of the women makes a speech. And she starts at the back. And she walks in to the music she has chosen. There was a common thread in all these songs, all gospel music, all with the same message. When no one cared, when I was abandoned, when I was hurt, when the world destroyed me, Jesus died for me. I was worth everything to God. My life was so precious that God sent Jesus for me. Friends, it was as if they floated to the stage on this song, brought right up to the microphone on the melodies of these gospel singers. Of the 10 women who came to the stage to share their story, 9 were survivors of childhood abuse or intimate partner violence. "I couldn't believe," a woman named Nissi said, "I couldn't believe that no one would intervene on my behalf as a child. Children should be loved and cared for," and her hurt grew into rage and despair. One woman is finishing a sentence for the murder of her abuser, caused when she was attempting to protect herself. But the other woman told a common story. Abuse and abandonment, pain and poverty and emptiness led them to drugs, to selling and using. "I just wanted to escape my pain," Nissi told us. The response of the carceral system to one of these women was to place her in and out of solitary confinement for 2 years. Another of those women entered prison on a 17-year sentence 2 weeks after her daughter gave birth. They told these stories matter-of-factly. They told them, unlike me, without tears or anger. And that's because every one of these stories turned in another direction. It didn't end where it began. Through other people, with the aid, with the assistance, with the care and love of volunteers who commit their lives to these women, they made a discovery. I wrote down some of the things that they said to share with you. I am a resurrected woman of God. Where the Spirit is, freedom is. I am lovable and worthy. I am somebody. My charge does not define me. I learned that I could heal. Forgiveness starts with me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do anything I set my mind to. I learned to have peace with myself and others. I am amazing. Part through these graduate speeches, a woman walked on the stage, and there she claimed the space. She made a claim on that air. She sang the same phrase over and over again in long vibrato, her voice dancing through octaves as women stood and wept and shouted. I know I've been changed. I know the angels in heaven done signed my name. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones, and he has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Did you notice that Mary's song is written in the present perfect? Do you know what that means? It means it began in the past, and it carries on to now. I don't think you're going to see that reported in the newspapers or in corporate earnings reports, probably not even in elections. But you will see it in the Marys of this world. We'll say that God is breaking apart the internal and the external violence of trauma and abuse and poverty, and that God is making a new way, but only if we draw our lives to theirs. When we sing this song, we join the chorus of the poor who make God's claim on history. Amen.